My friends, I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject, Who is in Charge Here? From Mark chapter 14. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now let's read from Mark 14, beginning with verse 53. And it says, And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants, that means the officers, and warmed himself to the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for a witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there rose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is this which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy, what think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death, and some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy, and the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Now, friends, what we have here in the beginning of Jesus' trial that led to his crucifixion is that first Jesus was sent to Annas, the high priest. Annas was not the acting high priest, but he was a high priest till 16 A.D., when he was fired by the Romans. Then his father-in-law, Caiaphas, came to the high priestly office, and he was now the acting high priest who could actually follow through on anything Annas recommended in terms of real action against Jesus. Now, Annas was very popular. He was considered to be wise and experienced, and so that's why he was first taken to Annas, the previous high priest. The big question that I want to bring to your attention today is, who was really in charge here at the trial of our Lord Jesus? All along the disciples had seen Jesus in charge. He was in charge of the elements of nature. He was in charge over devils, over sickness, and over death. He could out-debate every scribe, Pharisee, and lawyer. The disciples were with him 3 years, and Jesus was always in control of everything. They felt completely secure with him. He was the master of everything. We all like to have a leader like that, don't we? Such leaders inspire confidence and exude strength. What's happening here is Jesus is arrested and is beaten. And the first one that saw that Jesus was losing ground in popularity was Judas. He saw many in the crowd beginning to question Jesus. If you had taken up a Gallup poll of Jesus' popularity, in the first year, it would have been very high. The second year, it still would have been high. But now here, in the last few days and hours, Jesus' popularity went down to almost zero. So the continual bombardment of criticism, fault-finding, layer upon layer, these people began to wonder whether Jesus was really all they thought he was or he claimed to be. You can hit somebody long enough with criticism, and eventually that criticism will begin to stick with many people. Because you have to remember, dear friends, on that day there was enough negativism, enough animosity against Jesus amongst the people that they actually cried out together, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. So when Judas saw the weakening position of Jesus with the multitude, when he saw the Pharisees and scribes now taking advantage of that, so that they could take the upper hand and arrest Jesus and get rid of him, Judas made his move. We look at verse 53 of this text. It says, immediately, while he, that is Jesus, spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they arrested him. This time, it looked like Jesus was not going to get away. The man who once was on top was now at the bottom. Judas switched sides. He left Jesus. And the rest of the disciples also forsook him. So our Lord had lost control. It looked like his ship had sprung a leak that was irreparable, and everybody went off to save his own skin. This became more obvious that later on into the night, as we read in verse 65, that they began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to strike him with their fists, saying unto him, prophesy. And the guards received him with blows, slapping him. Of course, all of this was illegal, but they did it anyhow, because this trial was not by law as much as it was by emotion. So, oh my friend, can you identify with our Lord? Was there ever a time when you felt the bottom of your life had fallen out? And then you went along for a while and you found another bottom below that bottom, and that fell out. And it goes on and on. You may have lost your job, and then you may have trouble with your marriage, and then you find out one of your children is on drugs, and it goes on and on. It is in times like these when people ask, where is God? What's God doing to me? Or some of them say, the devil is all over me. But I want you to know that if you are a committed child of the King, the devil can never take control of your life. Wicked men will never be in charge of you. If you are a true child of God, God will always, and I say always, be in charge of your life. I want you to know that. So Jesus' boat was not sinking, my friend, in the rough seas. Yes, it was taking in a lot of water, but it was exactly with pinpoint accuracy where God wanted it to be at this point. God had planned for Jesus to go to the cross, and Jesus had prayed through in the Garden of Gethsemane a few hours earlier. And he needed all this evil to fulfill prophecy, to stay on the course God had charted for him. And at the end of this whole journey, he would not be in the grave, but he would have a glorious resurrection and reign as Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he would draw millions of people with him into his marvelous kingdom. There's a passage in John chapter 18, verse 3. I'd like to bring it to your attention. It says, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. Notice the phrase knowing. Knowing all this, that this would come, that this would happen. He went forth anyhow. He went forth ready for it to come upon him. These things, he said, should come about. There are certain things that should, that must need come upon you in order to refine you and make you the person God wants you to be, so he can do something with you. Well, I'll tell you, my friend, in the middle of this all, Jesus was still in charge. When the officers and the scribes and Pharisees and all of them came, Jesus made one simple statement when he asked them, whom seek ye? He said, I am he. And at that precise moment, everybody fell on their backs. Jesus was in charge at the beginning of time, throughout all of time, and he was even in charge when he was in the garden arrested, and when, my friend, he was spat upon and beaten and crucified. I think you need to know that, my friend. As a true child of God who follows Jesus, Jesus was never, no matter what things looked like in your life, and he was never far away from you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he will never let anything come to you but that it is for your own good. And this makes this passage with Jesus and Peter stand out so beautifully, as we read a few chapters back where Jesus told Peter you're going to fail me, you're going to deny me three times. But then he said to Peter, but I've prayed for you, not I'm going to, but I have already prayed for you, and when you're all done with this failure, when it's all said and done, you will strengthen the brethren, hallelujah, because I'm going to be with you through thick and thin, I will be with you. Oh, I tell you, if you have the love and the zeal that Peter had for Jesus, my friend, you will make it through, and you will come to the point where you will cease to be a liability to the kingdom of God and a liability to your church, and you'll become an asset to his kingdom and to God's wonderful bride. There is a cup for you to drink, my friend, as there was one for Jesus to drink. Yes, Jesus was human and divine. In his humanity, he said, Lord, is it possible that this cup may pass from me, this bitter cup of the crucifixion coming my way? Is there another way by which I can save humankind? Yes, there is a bitter cup at times that God puts before us, but you will still say, won't you, Lord, have your way. Not my will be done, but your will be done, and you'll drink it by the grace of God and to the glory of God. Oh, friend, I believe there's somebody out there that needs to get this message. I like this little phrase from the Apostle Paul when he says, if we want to reign with him, we must suffer with him. And I like this little phrase I heard from someplace else, without the cross, there will be no crown. But through it all, Jesus will be there for you. He will be in charge. He'll always be in charge of any of his children, as he was in charge of all the affairs and events that took place in his trial that led to his crucifixion. So, let me end this little message with the words of a beautiful gospel song entitled, Let Him Have His Way With You. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your heart, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these moments together. We thank you, Jesus, that you are and always were the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Mighty God, and that all power in heaven and earth had been given to you, was always with you, and that power that availed for you in the Garden of Gethsemane, that power that was with you to go all the way to the cross and to give your life for us, and that raised you from the dead, that power is with us, your children, today, to make it through whatever our problems may be. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for having died for us, for living for us, for making intercession for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio broadcast. Tune in again next week. Goodbye now. This is Pastor Schulze.